And praise the Lord. It's so good to be with you. Thanks for just welcoming the presence of God this morning. There's just nothing better. And I'm excited that we get to gather with that presence. In his presence, we get to look at the Word of God that is certainly the rock in the midst of stormy times. We're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 4, and there's a little green outline that should be part of you following. If you're note taker, you can enjoy that. I do want to say hello to all of our online family. We're just thankful that you're with us this morning. Amen. Yes, spontaneous applause. That was awesome. And obviously, with the two recent shootings in Tulsa and Charlotte, the protests, the continued search for answers, justice, to know how to both appreciate, hold accountable, there's just so much that as the body of Christ, we need to examine our hearts, we need to examine the world, we need to examine our life and what we're about, our priorities, and say, Lord, how do we reflect the prayer that we pray every week? Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Where do we want it? On earth as it is in heaven. And every time we hear these reports of violence, every time we look at the issues of systems of injustice, every time we see someone who's advocating for the right thing, and every time there's confusion, speculation, I think all of our hearts are doing the same thing. Jesus, come. Kingdom of God, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Because only you have the answers for where we are and what we need. And because we are a group of people that come from different backgrounds and we've got different stories and we have the moments of both power and powerlessness, we've had the moments where someone has hurt us and we've had the moments that no one's hurt us, we in this room, we represent the body of Christ. And that body is not all an elbow and we don't all have the same story. And the hand does something with what it hears versus what the ear does with it, and the eye sees it a certain way. And we need the word of the Lord to continue to help us to make sure that we live out the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, which is we're supposed to be about God's kingdom coming to earth. And so some of us, there's deep grief and pain. Some of us are, we're just not connected to it. We don't understand. And here we are, the body of Christ. And we need to be, as the scripture says, grieving with those who grieve. We need to be rejoicing with those who rejoice. We need to be salt and light in a world that is definitely telling us where there is no salt and where there is no light. We never change from the gospel, but that gospel is always good news to every situation in society. And so this morning, I want to bring to you a word that the Lord spoke to my heart all week long. We've been you've saw some of the things that God's granted with Pastor Travis and the police. We're working with the school system and talking to our county officials, at least on that level, about how do we respond. But we've been praying about what do we do with Sunday morning, because we need to recognize that this is a kingdom call for us. And it's taken a lot of different forms, different thoughts about what we're going to do. And then as we were just finishing up this week, the Lord really spoke to me this word in Zechariah chapter 4. And it's going to lead us to a time of hearing from one another, some kind of beginning some conversations, and also going to give us some simple ways to start. At the end of service, I'm going to hand out a letter that I've written as I've been kind of walking through, praying as the people of God, what do we do to deal with the pain and the hurt, the injustice, the needs, the accountability that our society is looking for. And so it really boils down to one thought that I'm going to say before we get into the message, and then we're going to come back to it at the end. And it's this. God already prepared us with the call to pray first. We know we've got to pray first, all right? But to pray first does not mean to only pray. So we need to pray first, but then we need to be the first
to serve. And so we're going to get back to that as a church. How do we continue to follow? Let's pray first, but then it shouldn't be just prayer. It should turn into then how are we the first to serve where our community is hurting and needing. And so we're going to look at that together today. I'm obviously aware of my shortcomings and my inability to really understand all the pieces of the situation. So I just ask that you join me in prayer and that together we just trust in the grace and the Spirit of God to help us to come together as God's people to fulfill that prayer of His kingdom to come and His will be done. So we're going to read Zechariah chapter 4 as we are going to see a place in Scripture that has a lot to say about what we're feeling right now. Let's just begin it in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we have been seeking your face this entire service, and many of us have shed tears and sought your face and sought to serve throughout this week in ways that the kingdom of God is fully aware of, but are visible in our corporate setting. Lord, your word is our strength. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask now that you would come speak with us, guide us, teach us to be your people, and to reflect your very heart in which you taught us to pray. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Holy Spirit, guide us and guide each heart that wrestles with both the pain, the questions, and the needs that are in their hearts today. Lord, do this in our church family and across all those who will see this online. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Zechariah chapter 4. It's in the notes because I wanted you to see it this morning. Then the angel who talked with me, Zechariah the prophet speaking, returned and welcomed me as a man is wakened from his sleep. He asked me, what do you see? So God began to give him a vision of what God wanted to do in the midst of, as we're going to find out, a very broken community and society. I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lights on it, with seven channels to the lights. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered me, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, and he's about to reference a man named Zerubbabel, which is the governor of the city of Jerusalem, the governor of the people who are coming back from exile. He says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, could you read the next few words for me? But by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone. In other words, the finishing moment to the temple being built. We'll hear about it in a minute. And you'll bring out the capstone to shouts of, say it with me, grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Then I asked the angel, back to kind of the original conversation, what are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand? Again, I asked him, what are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil? He replied, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I said. So he said, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord. And notice how he phrases who the Lord is, of where? Of all the earth. And the Lord add his blessing and power to the word this morning in our hearts. Here is the context of what you just read. The people of God have now been back from exile, from Babylon for 20 years. So they were conquered, they were sent away, and then God was faithful to bring back them from exile back to Jerusalem, the place where God's temple was supposed to be. In that exile, the temple was destroyed, and so the passion and vision of God's people was to rebuild this temple. Now, when they first got back, they laid the foundation, and they did it rather quickly. But by the time we get to Zechariah, it's been years, and there has been no progress since the foundation. That's going to be important to know. There's been no progress since the foundation. Now, what we need to recognize is that the temple of God represented a few things for God's people. And if you're a note taker, you can write these down. First of all, God's temple represented God's presence, that God was with his people. So when God's temple being built and established in the middle of Jerusalem was the sign to this community, God's with us. God is with us, and he's watching over us, and he's our leader. Now, the temple also represented God's rule. So when the temple was built, it meant that God was ruling and reigning, that his will was being done, and that his desires would be what this community, what this city would follow. God's temple also represented God's peace for the community. Because when God was in charge and when he ruled and he was with them, then the people had nothing to fear. They had nothing to fear, so they could trust him and they could be in peace. And then finally, number four, God's temple represented God's prosperity. It represented that God was going to bless and multiply. And we think of prosperity, we think of type of materialism and things like that. But prosperity to God's people was that my children and my grandchildren, my nephews, my nieces, that they were going to have a future. And so here we are. God's people are in a situation where it's been all, they're in the middle of not, they're not even, it's not even Babylon anymore. Now it's Persia. There's been a political change, and now they're in this whole new setting. The story of this time in Zechariah is that Persia is on this crazy tax plan for all of its conquered lands because they want to invade Egypt next. And so there's this crazy politics and economics going on. And the people of God who are just trying to rebuild their lives and trying to just find God's presence and his rule, his peace, and his prosperity in the middle of this, they're right there, and God's people are discouraged. They're discouraged. They feel overwhelmed and defeated. They're this little province in this great Persian empire. They're not even called by Judah anymore. They've got a Persian name for who they are. And they're just sitting there, and it doesn't feel like anybody knows who they are anymore. And they're powerless for all the wrong things that are going on in the politics and the society around them. And so God speaks to a guy named Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is not the high priest, but he is a priest. He's a person who worships God. And as he's worshiping God, as he's praying first, as he's seeking God, God begins to speak to Zechariah and give Zechariah a message for God's people who feel like we've got a foundation, but nothing's growing off of it. Nothing's happening to move us back to God's presence, to God's peace and rule and prosperity in our lives. And so here's the message that God gives Zechariah, just a worshiper of God who's following and praying. The message is this: I see you, and my kingdom is going to come to you. That's it. I mean, all these visions, and we're going to talk about the prophets. Basically, God speaks to Zechariah to tell people like Zerubbabel, who's the person in the community trying to make it work and trying to fix it and trying to get the project done and trying to get God's will done, and people like Joshua, who are the high priest of that day, who's supposed to be a priest over this thing that's not even built anymore, nothing's happening, and is discouraged as a spiritual leader in their community. God speaks to Zechariah and says, look, tell my people that they feel like nobody sees them. I see them. And they feel like they're powerless and everything of my promises can't happen. You know what? You need to tell them I'm bringing my kingdom. And so Zechariah chapter 4 is the fifth vision that Zechariah has. And it's this vision that most of us here are like Zechariah, like, I got no clue what I'm seeing right now. I don't even know what that means. All right? It's this picture of basically what would be a menorah, a candle, a lampstand, just like in the temple of God, although it's kind of a heavenly one, so it's much more. And it has these bowl. It has a bowl that is filled with the oil that will keep the light, the flames burning. Okay? And the whole idea that this bowl that's channeling the oil so that the light, God's presence, God's power will still stay lit, there's these two olive trees. But they're not kind of like any olive trees. They're heavenly olive trees because it's olive oil that's creating the fuel for this light to burn. And the whole idea is that God has a... But what God also has, God has this heavenly source of power that will never run dry, that will always make sure that this lampstand will always shine. In other words, this light ain't going out. See, there's a heavenly source to accomplish God's will shining on all people. Okay, so that's the vision. And Zechariah's like, I don't know what I'm seeing. That's what he's seeing. Now, God speaks to, and if you took notes there, that was that little section, God's message. I see you, and my kingdom's coming. It's coming. You can be sure of it. And so God begins to speak to Zechariah things that a discouraged people need to hear. Promises that they need to continue to hold on to because they need to believe in God's promises more than they're seeing anything else. They don't ignore it, but these promises are so that will change. God's kingdom is going to come. God's answer, his presence, his rule, his peace, his prosperity, it's coming, Zechariah. Let Zerubbabel know. Let Joshua know. Let my people know the temple is going to be built. These things are going to happen. And I think what God says to Zechariah is something all of us need to hear today because we're people who feel like I'm just this pawn in this place where all these crazy political and government and social powers are happening, and who am I? Does like God even see us? You know what? One of the interesting things, and it's literally in the commentary about the story of Zechariah, it says here, based on the circumstances of God's people, practically, it made more sense to pursue the best life possible for yourself and yours in spite of the present difficulties. In other words, what he's saying is God's people just developed this attitude like, you know what, I can't fix anything. I'm just going to look out for me and mine, and that's it. Like, because God's people are like, what's the use anymore? We got a foundation. Nothing's progressing. Nothing's happening. We can feel like that. We see the latest news, and we grieve, and we see it. It's like, where's the progress? Why is it? It's just been the same old foundation, and nothing's being built on it. And we can feel that way. We can be having those we're wrestling with those questions. So God wants to speak. And although, you'll see my notes there in Zechariah's background, although the people are discouraged and defeated, although they feel like nothing in the middle of the grand political scheme of Persia, they've got little evidence of spiritual or moral transformation. The people mostly decide that the best option is just to look out for yourself and for yours. God speaks to Zechariah in prayer and says, no, I see you and my kingdom's coming. And I want to point out that basically what God says to Zechariah is my kingdom's going to come because of these five things. And I want to share these five things with you. And after I share them, then what I want to do is I want to invite some other people up here to share some of the things that God's speaking to all of us as the body of Christ. But here are the five. The first is this. God's kingdom will come to earth by the right foundation. See, there's the foundation is there for this to happen. The foundation is there that the presence, the rule, the peace, and the prosperity of God can come to God's people, can come to this community, can come to society. It's all about the right foundation. I believe all of us know who the chief cornerstone and the foundation is, right? It's Jesus, all right? Jesus is the only foundation, is the right foundation for the kingdom of God to come and change the kingdom of earth. And we hear so many different opinions, and there's so much that grieves us, and there's so much that has to be worked out. I mean, we're talking about economic injustice, educational injustice. So, I mean, we can go through the list of the things that are broken, and we can try to take any one of those and make it the platform for how we're going to change the world around us. And you know what the Bible is sure of is this. It's only the foundation of Jesus Christ that will bring the kingdom of God to the kingdom of this world. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
We've got to remember that. We've got to remember that there's one foundation for everything that grieves us, everything we long for, everything we want to see changed, and it's Jesus. And Jesus is the only foundation in which the kingdom of God, which has a source that never fades, never finishes, it's not going to run out, the momentum's not going to die down. It's the only place, the only foundation for the kingdom of God to set up shop and become an eternal change in a group of people is Jesus. And so you and I need to remember that. There are a lot of things we're going to have to put our hand to and work on. But the foundation is always Jesus. Number two, you've got to have the right source. Last time I checked in the Bible, oil in the Bible is always a symbol of who? The Holy Spirit. He's the golden oil. He is the heavenly source that never runs out. And if what we're trying to do in terms of breaking down darkness and bringing God's light, it's got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no other source that is going to usher in the kingdom of God. And so you and I need to grieve when we need to grieve. And we need to even feel anger, although we're supposed to anger and sin not, but anger is part of what we feel, all right? When we do those things, we always have to then move back to the source of the source of the change that we so desperately need is the Holy Spirit. That's why in service, although we've got to talk about this and there's a lot for us to work on, we're going to start off in worship. We're going to start worship. We're going to welcome the presence of God. We're going to bow before Him. We're going to hear from Him. We're going to be filled by Him. We're going to glorify who He is, because nothing's changing without that source. So we can all talk till we're blue in the face. There's only one source that brings the kingdom of God down to this earth, and it's the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen for that one too? That's good. Number three, we need the right representatives. And I'm going to say this like we need the right leaders. Let's say it that way. We need the right leaders. So this whole vision is about these two olive trees that are always supplying the Holy Spirit so that the light and the presence of God is always shining. And it says, and you know, at the end, I mean, Zechariah's like, I still don't know who these two people are. Like, I still don't understand the picture. And he says, oh, those are the two anointed ones. Those are the two anointed ones. The word really means sons of anointed ones. And the scripture is really clear about who is the anointed one, right? We all know who he is. I mean, it's what Messiah means, right? It's Jesus. Who are his two representatives on this earth? The body of Christ and the Word of God. That's them. The Word of God, Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? So it's the Word of God. And the body of Christ is the body of the anointed one on this earth. And so we need to recognize that if we want to see God's kingdom come down from heaven and come earth, it's got to have the foundation of Jesus. It's got to have the source, the right source of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's got to have the right leaders. And that is the Word of God and the people of God. You know, that's it. Now, the Word of God, it's infallible. It's unchangeable. It's a rock in the midst of the storm. It is able to give us the wisdom and the strength of God. And as someone said, as we were praying at the end of last service, I mean, Ephesians is clear, the manifest wisdom of God comes through the church. And so we've got to recognize that although there are many parts of our society that need to be part of the solution, it's the Word of God and it's the church that have to lead, because those are the only two that bring the kingdom of God down from heaven onto earth. And they are the servants, just like the Son of Man who came to do what? Serve and not be served. They're the ones who come down in the midst of all of the society. They serve and they bring and yield and serve to the kingdom of God. And so you and I have to be part of that. We've got to hold on to the word of God. And we've got to hold on to the call of God's church. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. He said we were supposed to be salt and light in this world. Sometimes we see let's face it, all right? As a church family, we got problems, right? We got issues. We're not perfect. The word of God's infallible, but man, we sure are. And so it's like, well, Pastor Sean, I mean, church, really? They're the answer? Dude, you know how long I've been in church? Yeah, I don't see any progress. Great foundation. Jesus, great foundation. Progress, haven't seen any in years. Oh, man, don't get confused in this world. There's two representatives of the kingdom of God that are anointed from Christ himself. That's the word of God, and that's the church. And so we've got to continue to not give up on this thing called church, although we got our issues, and we got our problems, and you know what? We got this great foundation, and man, what is with the progress? Where's the progress coming? You know, the progress that brings the presence of God, the rule of God, the peace of God, the prosperity of God, not to my little club, but to the community, to the city, to the society around me. Where is that? Because I haven't seen it in a long time. It's like, no, it's the church. And so we've got to be willing to say, you know what? I know the church got problems. But you know what? Lord, teach us. Teach us. We are it. That's crazy to say. There's no pride in that statement, right? Because we know who we are. But we're it. And so we've got to trust the Lord. Say, Lord, teach us. And that's what today's about. God, we need to grow. We're not all that we should be. Help us be more. Help us to be like you want us to be. So we pray that prayer and we do the messy, hard stuff to figure out how to grow. Now, again, we're infallible, so it's like, I don't know, Pastor Sean. I don't think this is going to work all that well. Well, you got to have the right foundation. You got to have the right source. You got to have the right leaders. And then, number four, you got to have the right goal. Because in this message to Zechariah, how does it all get finished? How's the capstone get put on it all? What's the goal at the end of all the work? And what's the picture of how it all finishes up? What's the word that begins with a G and is not God? Grace. Some of you got that. That was excellent. Good. I knew you were going God first, so I had to try to get that one out of the way. It's grace. That's got to be the goal, is grace. Now, lots of people have not used grace the right way. Grace is to accomplish truth. Jesus came in truth and grace. Grace is not to avoid truth. Grace is to make truth happen. Micah 6:8, God says to Micah, you're going to have to do justice, and what's going to be right there with it in order for it to happen? Mercy. And then walk humbly with your God. Here's the thing we don't understand about the earth, that in the earth, you can't have truth without grace. It doesn't work. You can't have justice without mercy. You've got to have the right goal in all of this. The goal isn't you let God take care of consequences. You are part. God's going to be just. He's going to bring justice. So what we've got to do is we've got to say, if I want the truth to happen in my society, then I've got to have a goal of grace. I've got to. It's not going to happen any other way. I've got to have, here's this thing that seems really odd to me, but the kingdom of God is all about it. If I want justice, I've got to have mercy. Let me ask you, Jesus brought you justice. How are you living in that? For it is by grace we are saved through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's actually grace that causes us to live in the justice that Jesus gave to us. And so what we've got to do is as we weep, as we sacrifice, as we give, as we pray first and then be the first to serve, we've got to have a goal of grace. Because that's how the kingdom of God is going to come from heaven and take root in earth. And then finally, and here's another one that we just don't think of, we got to have the right beginning. What's the beginning here? In Zechariah chapter, what's the beginning? It's S M S-M-A-L-L is small. Because you see, there are all these things. It's been years since progress. It's way overdue. There's way much that needs to happen. There's too much to happen. And what is God's word to Zerubbabel? Hey, don't despise what? Small beginnings. Matthew 13, 31, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a little seed. Lots of thousands of people who need food, and Jesus uses 5 loaves, 2 fish. Look, the way the kingdom of God comes from heaven to earth is we start small. Now, I'm not saying it stays small, because he's a really big God. But the mistake we make is when we've seen that foundation sitting there forever and seen no progress, we tend to reject the small steps that people are offering us. We tend to reject the small doors that begin to open because we're like, who's really paying attention? What good is this really going to do? No. The kingdom of God comes through the right foundation, through the right source, with the right leaders who have the right goal and have the right beginning. And that's small beginnings. That's small beginnings. They don't stay small. They're small in whose eyes? The world's eyes. They're 5 loaves, 2 fish. This is not enough to handle all of that. And what's Jesus saying? How about give it to me? How about give it to me and see what I'll do? Parable of the talents. I only got 1 talent. That's not enough. What am I going to do with it? Hey, don't hide it. Use it. Do something with it. And so I want us who pray every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to hear this word from Zechariah. Hey, check your foundation. I know you're hurt. I know you're frustrated. I can't fill in the blank how you're feeling. What's your source? What's your source how you're going to handle talking to your brother and sister? What's the source of how you're going to talk to your community? What's the source of the power you're going to work in as you work for justice, as you work for change, as you work for peace? What's that source? Got to have the right leaders. It's got to be the church and the word of God. And then you better have the right goal in it, which is so opposite of what the world's saying. You got to have a goal of grace. That's the only way the capstone gets on it. And it's okay if it's a small beginning. So I'm going to ask the ushers if they would hand out. Some of you got this in the beginning. There's a light blue sheet that a letter I wrote to us as a church that I want to make sure everybody has. Now again, I can't possibly in 2 pages share everything that needs to be shared. So please forgive me and have some grace and mercy on me if I missed the killer obvious thing that you are focused on. But what I want to encourage you about is it says pray first, then be first to serve. Okay? Pray first, then be first. So we want to continue in our call to pray. We want to make that first, because let me tell you what, when you act first before praying, we all know how that goes, right? We want to start, pray first, then be first to serve. And I talk about just some of the challenges of what we're doing. And then I offer some steps for us. And these are S-M-A-L-L. They're not the whole answer yet, people, okay? But we got to start someplace, right? We're not going to despise the day of small beginnings. So, number one on that list, and you can follow along if you want. You can read it later. Pray first about your own relationship with God, right? It's got to start there. Jesus had this story where he talked about a speck and a plank. Anybody remember that story? Remember that story? Where was that speck or that plank? Where was that? That place where you get perspective and vision and you determine what you're seeing? Pray first about your own walk with the Lord. And that, are you doing it justice? Okay? So then be the first to serve justice. What do you mean, Pastor? And how I serve justice about my own walk with God? If you have sin in your life, confess it. Don't wait for someone else to be first to tell you that it's there. right? Why don't you be first? Why don't you be first to serve justice in your life? Say, you know what? There's a place I need to humble myself. Let's look at our hard hearts and places. It's in a painful world. We got to protect ourselves, so we tend to harden up. Let's see what the Lord's saying. I can't say that for you. You hear from the Lord about that. Number two, and when I read this, at the end of this, I want everybody to say a really loud amen. Okay, you ready? Pray first about your public comments and social media.
Amen.
Amen. Like, really pray first about it. And you know what? Don't just pray first. Maybe hashtag pray long. Okay? Pray long. Pray long about that. As a matter of fact, pray so long that maybe you forget to put anything on social media. Now, look, it's part of our conversation. That's fine. And some things are hard to hear. I mean, it's going to be what it is. It's not going to be neat and clean. But would you pray first about it? Pray first. James tells this story where he says there's something you do, but there's something you should do twice as much as that. Anybody remember that story? Right? Yeah. If you don't know that story, ask somebody near you, okay? There's something you should be doing twice as much. That's listen. And then the scripture says that you should be slow to do what? Slow to speak and slow to get angry. Be slow about it. All right? And then it tells us, by the way, don't just assent to it mentally, but actually do it. So we want to do that. Now, number three, pray first to have mercy on those who have a different experience and perspective from you. I shared this sermon probably about 2 months ago. You've got to have mercy on the person who does not know where you've come from. All right? And I'm not saying mercy as in don't tell them. I'm just saying have mercy that they're not putting the dots together the way you are. You just got to have mercy on them. And Micah tells us if you don't have mercy, you're not going to have justice. It's totally opposite of the world's thinking, but it's the kingdom of God's way. And so have mercy on generations. Have mercy on cultures, suburb. I mean, all these kind of things. I mean, we've got a list of things you got to have mercy on. It doesn't mean we avoid the truth. It just means let's have mercy that people have not shared the same experience. Now, part of the gift of the body of Christ is we've got all of that diversity of those stories in this room. And one of the things we're going to try to do better, and we're just small beginnings, so it's going to take us a little time, all right? But we're going to try to make sure we share more those different stories. And so today we're going to do something that's S-M-A-L-L. It's just a small beginning, but I'm not going to despise it because it's a good step. I asked a few different people who do have different perspectives on the issue of justice, social equality, racial equality, what's going on in the different shootings we've seen. I've asked all of them to come up. And in a moment, they're each going to share a scripture that for them is one of the things they're focusing on and praying first about this. So I'm going to ask if they are in the room and have not run away, because it's kind of a tense situation place to be, if they would come on up. Can we give them a round of applause? Because just be thankful it's not you. All right? So if we just help these ladies up. Come on up, ladies. Thank you, everyone. I'll introduce them in a minute to you. But this is our body. And our body is made up of a lot of different people. And we've got to have a mercy. And our goal has to be what? Our goal has to be what?
Grace.
Grace. We've got to have some grace if this is going to work. It's not going to work any other way. And so in a moment, they're just going to do a small beginning for us. And they're going to share a thought about as they've been going through the week and as they are thinking through these issues of justice and race and what's the scripture that God's kind of got them focused on, and how are they using it for prayer? Now, number four, pray for African-American families in the community who are grieving, angry, and need answers. So one of the ways you can pray first about that, but then you can be the first to serve, is Pastor Travis and Pastor Shaq have been working with Elsie Bird High School, and the school itself has identified a need of having father figure mentors for young African-American men in their school. So you can pray first about it, but then you can be the first to act. I'm signing up, all right? And I want us and some of the men in the group, let's not just pray about it, let's serve. And so it looks like basically an hour a month, I think is what it looks like. And it's a time to contribute to building positive relationships and tightening up the relationships of our community. So we want to invite you to be part of that. We are also working with Dr. Cole over at ECOF, talking to some of the school system as well as the county about what are ways that we can strengthen our community. We can be part of the answer, not just hear all the bad things, but just try to be part of God's healing, God's justice in it. So we'll share more as we go, but you can start there. Now, number five, pray first for our police officers and families to remain safe, have wisdom in a very challenging situation, way to work with the community in a way that meets the needs of our society. That's a big goal of our police force right now, is how do we meet accurately and communicate in the ways and respond in ways that our community needs. So let's be praying for them. Now, we're also in conversation with them. So for right now, we don't have a very specific step, but what you can do today is this. In your connection card, you can write out a prayer that we're going to share with the police department. It says, this is my prayer for you. And you can pray it, and it's a way of just be first to serve. Do something to serve their encouragement and encourage God's ways in the police department. So before you finish today, you can write that in the connection card, and we will pass it on. Make sure you indicate this is for the police. Number six, pray first for our next generation of students. Boy, we're giving them an interesting thing to deal with, aren't we? You know, we haven't been the best leaders. And so to all of our students out there, sorry. And I don't mean that in a weird, trite way. I am. We've not served you as well as we should in tackling what we should be tackling. And now we're handing it off to you. And so we're praying for you because you've got a chance to do a lot better. You got a chance to do a lot better. You got a chance to have the right foundation with the right source, with the right leadership, with the right goal, with the right beginnings. You've got a chance in our schools to do that. And so what I want to encourage all the students, and I want to encourage all the adults, so how do we just not pray first about it, but be the first to serve? Help a student get to see at the poll this Wednesday. How is the next generation going to come together except they pray? Right? I mean, what else is going to draw us together in Jesus but prayer? So, church family, let's pray first, but then let's be first to serve. Can I get an amen for that? See at the polls a half hour before your first school bell, wherever you go, whichever school you go to. And then number seven, all right, pray first for our church to grow in understanding and action for social justice and peace in this very clear need of our society. Pray that we would be salt and light, the light Jesus desires us to be. We've got growing to do, right? That's okay to say that as a family. Like, we got to grow. We got to be better. And so let's pray about it. Let's pray first, but then let's not just pray first. Let's be first to serve. So one of the things I would like to do, although I'm not going to do it without church involvement in terms of members' involvement, is we'd like to do something called the Micah 6:8 Commission. And you'll see it there in the paper. What we'd like to do is bring a group of people together that want to, in the call and the heart of Micah 6:8, we want them to help us track and be informed on three parts of this issue. One, we want them to follow through with the national cases where police are called into question for violence against African Americans and follow it through to find out the answer. We tend to be reactive in the moment we hear it. Do any of us know, or how much of a complete story do we know of how those things were resolved? We've prayed for justice. Are we going to see it through to the end? So we should be part of that. Number two, supporting our local police initiatives in improving community relations, diversity in the police force, and proper cultural and community training. Who's from our church is going to help us all come together, make sure we're serving our police well to give them the grace to become what God wants them to become, and then celebrate what the yeses of what they're doing that honor the Lord. And then number three, to track and follow and help us be informed on local church initiatives to bring reconciliation and strengthening diverse relationships of our county. Because in the end, there's two leaders. It's called the Word of God and who? The church. And so we want to make sure that we're doing our part to be with the community of believers to make sure that we are serving that well. So these are things to begin, not on this list, but basically I'm presenting to you by this whole service, is we are also going to be working with the pastors, elders, and obviously just our church family. How are we going to have more conversations together? How are we going to hear each other more? How are we going to learn to listen better? And, you know, we have this beautiful gift in our church. We've got all the differences that the world has, and yet we've got the right foundation. We can have the right source, the right leadership, the right goal. And in that, we can become a demonstration of God's kingdom that can lead to it coming to this world. And so I want you to pray about being part of that. We're going to be working on how do we hear more. And so this morning, it's just a small beginning, but I just thought through our different people who have different perspectives, we could hear a scripture that they think is important for us to hear and a little bit about why that's important. And as we listen, we're going to do it on the foundation of who? Oh, people, come on. Help me out just a little bit. The foundation is who? So we're going to listen to this in the foundation of Jesus. We're going to let the source of our listening and even the power of our understanding is going to be found in what source? Okay, the two leaders in this discussion are going to be who? The Word of God, the people of God, the church. Our goal in listening right now is going to be what? Grace. And then we're going to be okay with the beginning of a small begin. We know we're not going to tackle everything right now, but we're going to offer something. So, can you, one more time, give a big round of applause to people who are taking your place up here this morning? Nancy, would you be the first just to share your scripture and that prayer focus?
I'd like to say, this whole situation for me really stinks. I'm raising mixed kids in this world that wants them to choose a race. You know, and what do you do with my five-year-old who says, I'm white now, but when I get older, I'll be black, you know? Or kids who don't know that their parents are mixed until someone tells them that. You know, we've raised children to know that they are God's children. And that's who they believe they are. And I just pray that they can walk through this season like that. I feel like this is, the 2 years to me has been like being caught in a wind tunnel and finally landing on solid ground and still trying to get your bearings, you know. Mm-hmm. And there are more questions than answers. And it's not a good place to be. And in the past 20 whatever years when you think things were okay, and what happened? What's the agenda? The verse I picked was Ephesians 4:1. Do not think that you are better or more important than other people. Always be kind and patient. Love each other and do not become angry with each other quickly. Do your best to let God's Spirit keep you united as friends without any trouble between you. There is one body and there is one Spirit. God has chosen you to be his own people, and all of us wait certainly for the same good things. There is one Lord, there is one true message that we must believe. There is one baptism. There is one God who is the Father of all of us. He is over all. He works by all, and he is in all.
Amen.
So I guess my message would be, we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to stop the Christian speech of, yes, you know, we can say all the right verses, but do we know who we are, and do we believe who we are? Because you only act based on what you believe. So we really, the church has to be the hope for the world. Yeah. We cannot look like the world and what's going on.
Amen. It's a great word. Can we say thank you? Thank you, Nancy. Sierra?
All right. The scripture I'm going to use has already been referenced, and it's Micah 6:8. So I'm going to go ahead and read that. It is, he has showed you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So what I did was I took justice, mercy, and humility and broke it up into three different sections. So first with justice, with what's going on right now, when we say we want justice, we don't really know what justice we want. Justice is from God and only by God. And until our system lines up with that, there still is no justice. Secondly is mercy. No matter what side of the spectrum someone is on, we have to want mercy for everybody. We can't say we want mercy for one person, but have excuses for another person or explanations as to why they do not deserve mercy. And lastly is humility. We must know and realize that we as humans do not have the answers for ourselves, and we have to come to God for everything. And in Nehemiah, something that he could have left off to the side and didn't have to deal with, he sought God for that before he went into anything.
Amen.
And once we do that, we realize that God is going to be the answer for this. And once we do accomplish this, we have to realize that it wasn't of our doing, but of God. So that's it.
Amen. Great work. Miss Diane?
I agree with what Pastor Sean has already talked about, and that's the fact that Jesus has put us in this congregation to be his love to the world. That's our purpose. That's what the church is called to do. And when I thought about that, came to mind, of course, was John, who walked with Jesus, who knew firsthand what the love of Jesus looked like. So my scripture verse is 1 John 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And then down to verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God who he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Pastor Sean mentioned that we start small, and the smallest unit in this congregation is each of us as individuals. We cannot change someone else, but we can change ourselves. We can change how we think and how we love. And we each have the power to make a difference. And that's the way we're going to make a difference, is to love one another and let the world see what that looks like.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Shaq?
As a black man, as I think about the situations that have been happening during this week, it does break my heart and it does sadden me. And there has, you know, there is some emotions in my heart towards this situation. As I watch the news and I see everything that's going on, and my wife turns to me and says, my kids need their dad. And that, you know what I mean, that broke me, because, you know, there can be fear and there can be, you know, just that misunderstanding and just that lack of love. But, you know, the Bible says that there are two commandments that are greater than anything that anybody can ask for, and it's love God and love thy neighbor.
Amen.
And I think that the only way that we, or me, myself, can get rid of these frustrations and get rid of these emotions is by, number one, loving God who created me and who is my father, and by loving my brothers and sisters, whether white, black, Latino, it doesn't matter, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So the solution, well, one of the solutions is to follow that word and to have mercy on those that don't understand from my perspective and love my neighbor. So.
Amen. Amen. Great word.
Hey, I'm going to share a story just to close us out here. Thank you for Pastor Sean for doing this and taking this Sunday to do that. We don't know. He's been wrestling with the word for the last few days. We've been talking a lot and just dealing with the word a lot. Hey, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Many of you know me, and I shared a video on Facebook this past week, and it kind of went viral, went crazy. I had a conversation and a prayer time with some officers, and I just didn't want to just sit in my frustrations. You know, sometimes a problem can paralyze you, and you stay in problem mode, and you don't actually do something about it. And so what I did is, you know, I just called some officers, Billy George, who's one of our members here in our church, and he called his entire unit, and we just prayed together and just started to talk and have conversations. But in light of that, I share this story with you. My second year of college, Brittany and I, my wife, we were engaged, and we were working in a ministry, an urban ministry, where you live inside the, the urban area, and you kind of reach out to your neighbors and things like that. And so Brittany was, she lived down the street in another ministry house. So on a particular afternoon, I called her. I was like, hey, I'm about to come to your house and we can hang out, whatever. So as I'm walking towards her house, she's on the porch and she's waiting for me to come. And I'm about maybe 50 yards from her home, and she sees me. And out of nowhere, these SWAT team car and about 10 police cars comes out of nowhere. They grab me. They literally pick me up and slam me on my stomach. And these guys with this all-black uniforms and just helmet gear and everything. A couple guys had these AK-47s, or I'm not sure the name of the guns, but they had a point at my head. Like, get down. And the story goes is that there was a guy in the area that had just murdered someone. It was on a run. And he was light-skinned. As you know, I'm not really light-skinned, you know. maybe close. I'm 1201. I'm just past midnight, you know. but anyways, I share that story with to say this. I remember that moment. I was afraid for my life. And the ministry leader of that ministry, he was like in the middle of that area. And so he comes barging out of his house running. And he had connections and he knew everyone. And he was a Caucasian brother. And he came out and he just talked to the cops and said, no, you got the wrong person, whatever. And they literally were about to handcuff me. And they were just treating me in a really negative way. And I was reminding of the scripture found in Proverbs. And it says that we as a church, we as people are to be the voice of those who don't have a voice or who don't know how to communicate their pain. Mm-hmm. And I remember in that moment, you know, Tim Mitchell, this white suburban guy who chose to give his life to Jesus and give his life to this ministry. I remember him being a voice for me. And I just believe that this is a church and that's who we are. Whether it be African-Americans, whether it be for policemen, whether it be for Latinos or whoever don't have a voice. That's who we are as God's people. We're the voice for people who don't have a voice.
Amen. That's a great word. We want to be God's family. We want to learn to share and hear from each other. And I'm just going to ask you as we finish today, if you would stand and if you would take hands across the aisle. We will have plenty of hand sanitizer in the foyer for after service if you're worried about getting a cold or something. Jesus Christ is our foundation. His Holy Spirit is our source. His word and his body is our leaders. His grace is our goal. And small beginnings are how he does great things. And we remember all those things as we hold together, trusting all those things to be working in our lives for the places we need. And that we would together remember those things as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. So before I do, would you take a moment and just ask the Lord to work those things in a fresh way in your life and strengthen you to be the servant of God for the people around you and for our community.